Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
But hey, it's already Thursday. Yay, Thursday! All right, this is Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, of course. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, just go ahead and email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blog goes up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can swing on over there, check out what went up yesterday, see what you think. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. Now, don't forget the Twitter feed. That's at Sports Time Radio. Of course it is. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan.
So, yes, I was just telling Dan another frustrating FanDuel adventure for me. I apparently have become a pitcher jinx the last couple of days. While the Dodgers did beat the White Sox last night, Yu Darvish was incredibly horrible. He gave up 3 runs. He did make the 6 innings and get the quality start. But after posting double-digit strikeouts in his first 2 starts for the Dodgers, he got 2 against a team that strikes out as much, if not more, than anybody in baseball. So, I kind of crashed and burned to a whopping 116 points. But at least I got into the 100s. I was in the right game. You know, Colorado scored 17 points. I guess I should have loaded up on Rockies. Only DJ LeMahieu really came through for me out of that game. The other guys I had in that game didn't score over well. And Nick Markakis had 13 on the losing side. But as you know, we put that all behind us and we move on into today. So the pitcher I am going to jinx today is Luis Severino of the Yankees. Which is going to be horrible because I also have him in one of our Yahoo leagues, so I'm going to double up on my he's going to cost me $9,400. He's pitching against the Mets tonight. Catcher, I'm going with Omar Nevaez of the White Sox. He's hitting 8th. He cost me $2,300. Joey Gallo is my first of 3 Rangers in my lineup. He's hitting 6th in their lineup tonight. Cost me $3,800. Josh Harrison of the Pirates is at 2nd for me. He's hitting 2nd. He'll cost $2,700. Todd Frazier at 3rd base tonight. He's going to cost $3,400 at 6th for the Yankees. My second Ranger, Elvis Andrews, $3,600 at shortstop. He's hitting 3rd. Then my outfield has two $3,500 guys. The first one is Manuel Margot of the Padres. He's leading off for them tonight. The second one is Andrew McCutchen of the Pirates. He gets 3rd for them. And then my lineup rounds out with my last Texas Ranger being Delino DeShields Jr., who cost me $2,700 leading off for the Rangers tonight. So here we go. Luis Severino's pitching, Omar Nevaez catching, Joey Gallo at first, Josh Harrison at second, Todd Frazier at 3rd, Elvis Andrews at short, and the outfield is Manuel Margot, Andrew McCutchen, and Delino DeShields Jr. This, of course, is for the four toughest ticket contest, the free roll they have going on, I think, through the end of the week. You got a little over 25 minutes to get your lineup in, and we'll see how it goes tonight, see if I can jinx one more pitcher or if I can actually get something rolling. Now, I know, Dan, you put your lineup together. Do you have it for us?
Well, you obviously didn't look at it because you're going to die laughing.
Oh, I did.
Or did you?
I did. I know exactly what your lineup looks like. You wanted to read it or if you wanted me to do it.
No, I've got it ready. So I went with somebody who I would never expect to pick, but be on a roll. But like Big Jack, I might be a killer to him, and that is good old Edwin Jackson for Washington. But I figure it's time to get a nice goal with him. They're up against the Padres. So hopefully that doesn't blow up in my face, seeing as I have Julius Chastain in one of our year-long leagues. But at catcher, which I was hoping I didn't have to change this because I didn't have the lineup when I put it in together, Buster Posey. Jose Abreu at first. Yoan Moncada, I don't know why I went with two White Sox, but it just seemed right. Anthony Rendon at third. Elvis Andrews at short. Lauri Garcia, I mean, it's three White Sox. Aaron Judge and Michael Conforto. I'm hoping the last two have like a home run competition.
Boy, we are definitely on to that White Sox game, huh? I have three Rangers and you have three White Sox.
Yeah. You have any White Sox? They have one Ranger.
I have Omar Navai as a catcher. That's my only White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking to save the pick. I got lucky last Friday, which I think in over a year, I've never won any, never moneyed in any Giants contest. So that was pretty cool. You know, FanDuel was smart. What they would do is with guys like me and somehow manipulate it so I can win some money and then I get three more. But hey, I know that.
Yeah.
And that was good. That would definitely, you know, pee off the was it the Attorney General that are filing the suits against them? No.
No, actually, it would pick me off because I don't ever win in the big contests either. So, yeah. You know. All right,
yeah,
well, you know, Dan, it is technically, get a, you know. You saw what? You saw Edwin Jackson and you had to have
him? Yeah, because once I sell my house, maybe I'll throw some more money in. I will say this, Big Jack, I just had a question why. I mean, it's so damn early. I keep getting the emails, and then anytime I log in the app, to put together my opening day NFL lineup. And, I mean, I
yeah.
can't even look at it.
Yeah, I haven't even opened it. I know they've got a free roll going on, and it's one of those things where if I miss out on it, I really just don't care because it's too early to go in there. And, you know, I mean, I know you can put the lineup together and then go change it, but it annoys me, I guess, is kind of the way to look at it. It's not NFL yet. You know, give me a couple weeks and we'll be a little more into it. And, you know, when our draft comes up, then great. But, yeah, don't hound me to play fantasy football during preseason. I mean, I know they have contests you can actually bet money on. I mean, imagine trying to do that. So, you know, because damn it, I want Mitchell Trubisky as my quarterback. If I'm doing that, he's my quarterback. So, you know, just one of those things. But
I have been doing a little research, so hopefully I'll try to get it together tomorrow morning. Especially after tonight's game. And, you know, when Trubisky gets his official Hall of Fame ballot, you know, after tonight.
Yes. You can see what Jay Cutler is like tonight. I believe the Dolphins.
Oh. Good for him. He's not going to take more than 10 snaps.
No, you figure he'll play a series. You know, I mean, that's, you know, maybe two, depending on how it goes. All right, well, you know, Dan, since it is Thursday, it's getaway day in Major League Baseball. So we did have some early games here. That meant FanDuel had some early lineups. And if you were looking to build an early lineup, you probably should have built it around Patrick Corbin. He shut out the Astros today. I think he went 8 1/3. It might have only been 8. Diamondbacks won that game 4-0. Patrick Corbin got the win. Mike Fiers took the loss. We had the Cleveland Indians beat the Minnesota Twins. I believe that's the first game of a doubleheader, 9-3. Carlos Carrasco got the loss, and Carlos Carrasco got the win, and Kyle Gibson picked up the loss. Of course, here locally, the Reds and the Cubs had a slugfest. The Cubs were actually down 9-0, and according to their wonderful television announcers, they made the greatest comeback in baseball history to tie the game up at 9-all, and then proceeded to lose 13-10. So Drew Storen got for the Reds, Rossi Iglesias save, and it was Justin Grimm out of the Cubs bullpen who took the loss. We got a couple games that are almost over. There's two outs in the bottom of the ninth with the Braves leading the Rockies 10-4. And then in the top of the eighth inning, the Blue Jays are holding a 3-2 lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. Those will go final pretty soon. And I guess that's exciting for everybody. And where? Dan, is that the Dodgers were playing it safe last night, and they pulled you out of the game for precautionary reasons because he had back tightness. I didn't realize a young freak got the back tightness, but hey, I guess whatever worked. So, you last night, you out for precautionary reasons. So, just the thing after making the to occur. Mr. Fan, I see that the Cardinals are putting Trevor Rosenthal on the DL. They're calling it elbow irritation, right posterior elbow irritation. He's actually been really good since taking the closer role back over. And he was one of those guys, Mr. Fantasy and I grabbed him really late in our Money League draft. Because I kind of assumed, you know, eventually he's one of those guys who could move back into the closer role. And sure enough, he did. And, you know, now he's going on the DL. And at the time of the year, there's no chance of us being able to step in and hunt down any kind of replacement. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects us. We've been rolling along pretty well. I think we're in... it's one of those fun situations, Dan, where if we were in the other division, we'd be in first place. But we're in happen to be in the toughest division, so I think we're in third.
You and Mr. Fantasy?
Yeah. I don't, you know, that all worked out. So.
Hey, you always end up seeding to be in all the hard divisions. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, you know, one of those things. That's what you get to deal with. But, you know, the Cardinals have been making, you know, they got hot for a little bit, got themselves back into the playoffs, you know, situation there in the NL. They came back down a little bit the last few days. The Red Sox really kind of, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, put them in their place. And I think what they dropped now, because I think they were on a 7 or 8 game win, and now they've dropped 3 in a row all to Boston, and it's Milwaukee's turn to get hot. Milwaukee has won 4 in a row. So that's just one of those wonderful divisions, and everybody a little ground if they're playing tonight, you know, because the Cubs lost. So, of course, St. Louis is playing Pittsburgh, so one of them is going to have to win and not get dropped. So yeah, I'm sure Mr. Fantasy will be thrilled, and I'll have to deal. Somehow his injury will be my fault, and I will have to deal on that. But, you know. So. But now, you know, Dan, I was going to ask you about this. I haven't seen this or anything, but I've noticed a couple articles on it, and there was apparently some high school trick play that, you know, they named the Phantom Pickoff Throw. And, you know, it's a little shtick. I think we've all done it. You know, the pitcher fields around and doesn't really throw the ball. But, you know, the fielders act like it went flying, and, you know, they tend to go chasing after it. Hopefully, you know, the runner will take off. And if you've ever seen the movie Little Big League, which I'm not afraid to admit I've seen multiple times because it's a baseball movie, they actually use it towards the end on Ken Griffey Jr. So it's just kind of a play like that, but for whatever reason, it caused a 2-minute and 32 delay in a high school game because the term they used here is how to stop what he'd unleashed. And I assumed, you know, one of the, you know, either the baseball network, you know, the MLB network or the good old Mickey Mouse network would pick it up and show us this because, you know, they love to do these kind of things. And I have yet to be able to find it, Dan. I'm assuming I'm probably going to have to search YouTube after the podcast to kind of get a better idea of what the heck actually went on. I was wondering, Steve Collins, or did you manage to see any of this?
No, you should have tweeted me or emailed me, and on my email address, you probably would have looked it up on YouTube.
Yes, I will send you 8 or 10 emails.
I thought you were going to bring up Dom Radke's stolen base last night, which was, I mean, just, I don't know if you've seen it, but it was just completely ridiculous that he even was safe. You know, he kind of crapped out on himself getting tagged out after he stole the base, and I think that was on a pitch or two afterwards. But, I mean, that was another reason I actually, you know, I didn't turn off completely after Rizzo, after I turned the game on and Rizzo hit the grand slam, who I contemplated the night in a row, and he didn't do anything. Of course, the night I didn't go with him. But I turned the game on, and, you know, that's one thing I wanted to bring up for you, too, Big Jack. And, you know, if it's a team you like, I get it, but for me, I'm such a baseball guy that seeing a horrible baseball play, even if they're going in favor of the Cubs, it's just, I can't even watch it. I mean, it was just completely horrible play that Dom Radke was able to steal the base with the pitcher, you know, almost essentially catching him, and then just kind of throwing it over to second on a, oh, we're just playing catch kind of a toss. I mean, what did you think of that?
Yeah, well, I actually ended up not seeing the play. I heard it because I had it on the radio, so I didn't get the full gist of it like you did. And it was just because, you know, they made it out as, well, you know, John Lackey stole second base. I was like, wait, John Lackey stole second base? What the? Did, like, the catcher fall down and break his leg or something? Or, you know, how did this happen? So, I didn't get to see the whole kind of mishmash that you got to see. So, cool.
I'm trying to find a second thing to do so you can catch him later. But, I mean, imagine, you know, there's a guy on first taking too big of a lead. And the pitcher, you know, he did the ball motion like he was going to fake throw it to first. He doesn't even throw it to first. John Radke takes off as soon as he goes into motion. This pitcher, I can't remember his name right now. He sees that John Radke is going to second. The shortstop is on the bag. And he just kind of casually tosses it. Like, you know, overhand, not underhand, but casually throws it over second base. John Radke slides and it's safe. I mean, if you would have seen it, you know, you should have. No, that was Tucker Barnhart who picked him up. But I mean, it was just atrocious. So, you know, even though it was a pitcher, but anybody, for that matter, get a stolen base in that play.
So, yeah, it just kind of, you know, it's kind of like, oh, goody, you know, just what, I need to get to, you know, luckily I didn't have Len and JD on, so I didn't have to listen to them talk about it. You know, otherwise I literally probably would have jumped off the balcony of my apartment.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I was actually wrong. Flicker Barnhart stopped pitcher before he even goes into motion and points out that John Lackey is stealing. So the pitcher had more than enough time to get him out. And it's just so bad. But you'll catch that if you know.
Well, good. We'll look forward to that.
And for everybody else, you can see that. I just posted it at Sports Time Radio on Twitter, Facebook page, you know, like. And then you can talk to this
yesterday.
Liquor Fire has called the quote on the victim off, whatever you want.
Yeah, you know, I had the same, you know, issues with watching the game, you know, today. You know, like I was kind of joking, you know, when they got down 9-0 and then came back, was the greatest comeback in baseball history, according to their TV guys. And then as soon as the Reds took the lead back, you could just kind of tell their voices were out of it. It was quite odd because watching the other games, you know, like I switched over to the Diamondback Astro game and they had the Astro broadcasters doing it and they got shut out and they were normal. You know, there was no huge inflection. I mean, when Houston got a couple guys on, they called it straight like a baseball game. You know, I didn't have to listen to them talk about music or food or, you know, what was going on over there. And oddly, you know, the more I watched the different guys, it really seems like, you know, Len and JD are the two guys like sidetracked and, you know, start yammering about everything else that's going on except the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay, though, because they can't score.
So, yeah. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, I had to, and I hate having to give up on the Cubs games when I'm watching them because obviously they're, you know, they're the local team and I like watching them. But, you know, it was just one of those days where I didn't sleep very well after coming home from work. So I was crabby as it was. And I couldn't deal with these two morons. It was just not the day I was going to be able to sit there and listen to them, you know, droll on and on about, oh, well, you know, we did this and, you know, this is how, you know, this worked out. Now, you know, if I, you know, hey, look, they're serving nachos at the concession stand, Len. What do you think of that? Well, they serve nachos at the concession stand every day, JD. So that was it. I was done.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing about it is I couldn't wait for Bob Bradley to be out of that booth. But now I wish he was back.
See, and someday you will say the same thing about the Hawk, Dan. All right?
No.
Oh.
No, you know, I mean, well, he's retiring after next year, right?
Who knows? I'm willing to bet he comes back again, you know. So.
I mean, it would make it more enjoyable to actually watch the game. And, you know, from what I understand, not every White Sox fan is a Hawk lover.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it. You know, at this point, I mean, do fans care about the announcers anymore?
No, I mean, a lot of them are, like you said, the cookie-cutter thing. And, you know, kind of like the umpires, like they forget that we watch the game or we go to the game for the team on the field. You know, I mean, that was one of the things that we've always experienced. And I love how it always translates over to wrestling or pro wrestling. That we've seen that was a lot of the referees and ring announcers pretty much thought the show was about them for some reason.
Yeah, you run into those guys everywhere, I think.
Yeah. You know, ring announcer, broadcast guys, umpires, wrestling referees. I mean, I get it with the ring announcers and the referees a lot of times in the league. Obviously in any league, they only have one ring announcer. And then if you're lucky, there's two referees. It's part of the show. You're just with the blend in the background. Nobody really cares.
Yeah, well, you know, and they always say the best up games are when you don't know the umpire there, but it's kind of so hard nowadays. I mean, there's just kind of, you know, every game there almost seems to be like some kind of outrageous call. And I know, I didn't see it. Maybe you still had the game on. I know Schomburg Stu saw it. They had an odd, what was apparently called a bunt attempt on a ball that hit Ben Zobrist yesterday. And it was another thing. For whatever reason, I somehow didn't manage to catch the double highlights this morning. I think I saw every other game except theirs. But, there was some odd play, and I guess Joe Madden actually lost his mind and got tossed. And there was apparently he was so bad there were rumors of fines and suspensions. So I would have liked to have seen that because he rarely does that kind of stuff. And then there was even another situation today while I had the game on. And the funny thing about it was a 1-2 count on the batter, and the pitch looked like a strike, and the batter actually started walking back to the Cincinnati dugout. I think it was Stuart Turner, the catcher. And he's a right-handed hitter. He got into the left-handed batter's box before he realized that the umpire called it a ball. And he actually kind of had to get himself righted and turn around, and it was just quite humorous because, you know, you see it on replay, and I mean, it looks like a strike. It was a close pitch, but it looked like a strike. And, you know, the thing that just added to it was I don't know if I'd ever seen a batter walk that far away on what would have been a strike three. I've seen him do it on what would be ball four, but never on a strikeout before. And there seems now like there's almost one of these type of situations every time there's a game now. And I don't get it. I don't know what's going on with the umpires.
I don't know. I pulled up that play. And to be honest, I wish Joe Madden would have bumped chest.
Yeah.
It would have been fun. But I mean, I get it. You know, want to add that fine and maybe possible suspension for a couple of days.
I would love to see them throw down. You know, that would be fantastic. But yeah, you can't. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff because not a whole lot. You can do. But here, Dan, I got a kick out of this, especially because this is local. But, you know, I always kind of cruise around and look for articles and stuff to either post to the Facebook picture for you and I to talk about. And I was floating around the Mickey Mouse website today, and I found this article titled so perfectly, Dan. It says, "Picked as the worst in the NBA, Bulls are where they want to be." what are your thoughts on that, Dan?
Well, I mean, isn't that essentially what it's confusing? Is that the Bulls want, or are they just kind of doing what everyone wants them to do so that Gar can keep his job?
Obviously, to be fair, this is the way you do it in the NBA now. You know, you don't if you're not a title contender, you go through some kind of tanking, you know, if you want to call it that, or however you want to look at it, you know, to rebuild your team with, you know, what is allegedly supposed to be young, talented players. And, you know, this is, you know, we've seen the 76ers do it. In essence, the Lakers have done it since Kobe's been gone. You know, you could probably go through the list. I think the Brooklyn Nets are doing it inadvertently. You know, I honestly just think they're bad and they didn't realize it. But, you know, I mean, you know, the Cavaliers did it when LeBron was gone. They racked up some number one picks. You know, it's as sad as it is, and just kind of how funny I thought the headline was, this is how you do it in the NBA.
It is, but it isn't. I mean, when you think about it, you know, the Cavs got 4 out of 5 years, was it, number one draft picks? Well, they sent Wiggins to Minnesota for Kevin Love. So, I mean, in essence, that was part of the drafting for that house work. But, I mean, and then you have Kyrie. But other than that, they have one good draft pick that they got. Second one, you wonder how he would have flourished playing with LeBron to begin with. But obviously LeBron and the owner didn't think that they would win a championship with Wiggins and LeBron and Kyrie. So, you know, like you said, the Sixers have been kind of doing it, but the Cavs did it. But they only, quote, did the tanking rebuild because they were able to acquire, quote, the greatest player in NBA around the planet today, and then with the addition of another skilled veteran of Kevin Love. So, I mean, yeah, the draft pick helped get the trade, but at the same token, you know, in 5 years, if the Bulls keep tanking, I mean, they don't have an affiliation or a relationship or a guy like that, a guy like LeBron, who in 5 years, let's not even say LeBron. In 5 years, it's not like they're going to call Doug McDermott back and he's going to come back and they're going to trade away one really number one draft pick and win a couple champions or go to the finals 3 years in a row. So, I mean, I get it, the whole tanking, you get better draft picks. But, I mean, Cleveland did it, but they're kind of an anomaly, wouldn't you say so?
Well, now this is kind of, I think, a little better parallel. You don't see the Bulls as comparable to a team like the Boston Celtics. You know, they had, I pulled up their records here so I would have it. They were 25-57 back in the 2013-14 season. You know, they dealt all their guys away. They acquired a monstrosity of first-round draft picks that, oddly, they still have some of. Danny Ainge just keeps acquiring them. Now, their turnaround was very quick. The next year, they were 40-42 on a playoff team. Then they were 48-34, obviously, in the playoffs again, but they lost both their first-round series then. Last year, they were 53-29, and obviously, they beat the Bulls in the first round, the Wizards in the second round before losing to the Cavs in the conference finals. You know, obviously, they're going to contend again. You don't see the Bulls as being able to make that type of turnaround, or do you maybe see them more as a 76er type deal where you mentioned, you know, they didn't have an affiliate with a guy who they could bring back, so to speak, and, you know, kind of work around like the Cavaliers did with LeBron.
I think you hit the nail on the head where you said Boston and Danny Ainge traded guys away and got first round draft picks back. I mean, the Bulls sent McDermott and Taj to Oklahoma for Cameron Payne and two other guys. There was no draft picks involved. They just let Rajon Rondo go. Granted, I think he was, you know, up for, he would have had to have been re-signed anyways. They could have re-signed him and then tried to trade him later. But nobody they have left on this team is really, I think, going to give you a first-round draft pick unless there's a team in dire need of Robin Lopez, or unless in the first 3 months, Nico Mirotic completely turns his game around and becomes a flat-out awesome, really powerful, and I don't even know if it's just anymore. I think we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
What does it matter what they play? It freaking matters. And, I mean, all the other guys, the young guys they have, are still developing. So, I mean, Denzel Valentine and, you know, the number one draft pick, I forgot his name already. We talked about him yesterday. And then,
yeah.
You know, who else? Bobby Portis. You know, they're not going to translate into first round draft pick. I keep saying number one. I mean, first round.
I take it you see it going this then. Yeah, Philadelphia 76ers lack made the playoffs in the 2011-2012, where they did beat the Bulls in the first round before losing to the Celtics. After that, they were 34-48, and they finished ninth in the Eastern Conference. Then they were 19-63, and they finished 14th in the Eastern Conference. Then they were 18-64. And again, they were 14th. I'd love to know who was worse than them, probably Brooklyn. Then in 2015-16, they won a whopping 10 games, 10-72. They were 15th, of course. Now, last year, they bounced back, 28-54. They were 14th in the East again. Do you see that being a trek the Bulls kind of take? You know, they weren't supposed to be a playoff team last year, and they managed to get in. But do you see them dropping? Are we looking at a 20-win team this year?
I think so. Between 20 and 30.
You know, and then now, will that, I guess the big question is, will that be the bottom, or will they have a fall like the Sixers? You know, they went 19-18-10 before they hit rock bottom and bounced back with 28, if you call that bouncing back. Do you see the decline continuing, or is that, you know, say they get 21 wins next year, is that going to be the bottom?
I think so, because, I mean, I don't think the fans and the media here in Chicago would let them continue to think like that, as much as they would be excited about, you know, the lottery and being higher in that draft position. They're going to get ran through the mud. So, I mean, they can really only afford 2 seasons where they play bad, because after that, you know, Dwayne Wade came in and he definitely helped boost Pickett last year. So I hope they have a really good accounting department where they could save, you know, they could have made as much money last year so that they can kind of hold themselves together in the next couple of years. I mean, you're not only looking at the grand scheme, have an owner of a guy who owns 2 teams. They're both in the quote rebuild mode. I mean, yeah, the Sox fans were excited that Johan Moncada came up, and, you know, God, they wouldn't stop talking about the first day he came up with Patrick, and there were 5,000 walk-up tickets. You know, but it wasn't Dodgers, and they haven't brought that up since that series. So, I mean, you're looking at 2 teams that are going to go red in the books pretty soon.
You know that ain't going to happen. They'll tell you they're losing money, but you damn well not losing money. Now, you know, the Bulls have not been under 500, Dan, since the 2007-2008 season. So it's been, you know, a while. Now, they've had some 500 years. They actually, you know, they were 500 even last year. They had a couple more before that, but they haven't been to the second round of the playoffs in 2 seasons. We know they're not getting there next year. They're probably not even getting in the playoffs next year. So I you know, I guess this is what they have to look forward to. But what I'm wondering is, you know, is there any chance for along this rebuild they Bulls all-time record for lowest number of wins in the season. They had 13 back in 1998-99 after Jordan retired and Jerry Krause still tried to rebuild that team.
Okay, I would like to say they won't. You know, I already said they kind of won't continue to decline. But you never know. I mean, I love the enthusiasm and kind of the drive behind Bobby Portis and even Denzel Valentine, the way you can tell these kids want to play. But on Monday, these guys look phenomenal. And then, you know, because what are they going to have 3 days off in between every game this year? By Thursday, they can be completely turned around and look just absolutely horse maneuver.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously always, you know, they were up and down last year just looking at those guys, you know, I mean, you know, and especially, you know, I broke down the box scores for every game last year, and I mean, there would be games, you know, Bobby Portis would have, you know, 17, 18, 19, even 20-point games, and then the next night he couldn't even get to double digits. So, you know, you wonder if they're going to continue to be as inconsistent, getting more minutes. And I still really, I hate the fact that they never found a way to use Doug McDermott to his full ability, especially in this style of NBA play. And I was so tired of listening to people say, well, he doesn't play defense. Well, who the hell in the NBA plays defense? Kawhi Leonard? You know, I mean, it's not like you have to be a defensive star to make it in the league. I mean, you know, not even LeBron plays defense every time down the floor. I mean, he gets those flashy follow blocks every now and then. So people, oh yeah, he's a great defensive player. No, he's not. You know, I mean, we've seen, they make jokes about James Harden with, you know, GIFs and stuff, right? Is it GIFs? G-I-F, is that how it's pronounced? You know, with the way he plays defense. And, you know, and he's one of the top five players in the NBA right now. And I never understood, and especially a guy like Fred Hoiberg, why the Bulls never found a way to get up and down the floor with guys like McDermott and Nikola Mirotic, and, you know, these guys who could shoot the bigs, who could shoot the three, and just spread the damn floor and let it fly like the Warriors do. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, you're not a 500 team and you don't make the playoffs? Oh, my God, no. Oh, good Lord. I never understood that, but we'll see. You know, maybe they'll do it this year because they basically went out and drafted Doug McDermott 2.0. You know, Lauri Markkanen's a 7-footer who shoots 3-pointers. You know, he's got no post game. He doesn't work inside the lane. Of course, you have Robin Lopez for that, so you don't need it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a 7-foot outside shooter. You know, Doug McDermott was a 6'8" outside six foot eight outside shooter. So you know, we'll see how that rattles around, but you know, I don't know. I don't see a lot of Bulls games in my future.
No, I mean, you know, and that's, I guess, probably the nice thing about the NBA contract with TNT and the mothership is the fact that you don't want to watch your local team. Well, that's okay because there's going to be two good, you know, two solid games on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. I don't know about Monday until after the new year, but, you know, at least Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. And then not only that, I think, you know, with the Bulls and the way what they received back for Jimmy from Minnesota, I mean, technically you have two first-round draft picks, right? LaVine and what's the other guy's name?
Chris Dunn.
Yeah. I mean, they get two more first-round draft picks in the next few seasons. Does that mean they should be contenders? Maybe they can get LeBron then. Remember, he was supposed to come there years ago. And you're right about one thing, Big Jack, with they won't lose money because it all comes down to how you file your taxes. And if, you know, they kind of tank and they really don't make as much money, you can, in a corporation, you can, you know, retract, you know, take your losses and put them back prior 2 years and get a refund from the prior 2 years, then you can take those losses, whatever doesn't comply with the other the past 2 years, and attach them to the next 10 years or so. I forget, it's longer than that. So, like you said, they'll be fine when it comes to the revenue,
yeah,
the accounting.
Yeah, now, you know, I did hear an interesting thing, well, you know, a little on the morbid side when it comes to the Bulls and the White Sox. You know, obviously the majority owner in both teams is Jerry Reinsdorf. I don't know exactly how old he is, but, you know, he's an older gentleman. Let me see if I can find his, I'll bing his name
like
real 78? Quick.
You're
using Dan's favorite search. See what I can come up with. He's actually 81. He'll be 82 next February. Yeah. I guess apparently his family has zero interest in keeping the White Sox or the Bulls. So inevitably, when Mr. Reinsdorf passes away, just like all of us will someday, the family is just going to put the teams up on the market. So, you know, we can kind of look for that. Hopefully not in the too near future. Hopefully he lives, you know, quite a long time yet. But, yeah, they've made it pretty clear that they have zero interest in either team, and all they want to do is sell them and take the money. So I was a little surprised by that, but I guess when you're getting billions of dollars for a franchise, you that kind of lights up for you, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, what did the Clippers get sold for, $2 billion? I mean, I don't
– Yeah.
And the amount of money that Miami's going for, shoot, you can only imagine what the White Sox will go for when their time is up to be sold.
We'll
just have to wait.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bulls with their franchise, you know, give it 5 years. I mean, what can that team go for, $5 billion?
you wonder. So. But here you go, Dan. I need to know what you make of this one. Apparently Tuesday morning, your guy LeBron James got on his private jet in Akron, Ohio, and jetted himself out to New York for a high-profile pickup game that not only Kevin Durant's playing in, but your guy Carmelo Anthony was also taking part in this. Now, you know, obviously, you know, we've kind of, you know, we know they're all friends, and this is kind of how it goes, but are you shocked? Because, you know, they're also saying Durant had to come in from Washington, which – obviously isn't as far of a trip as James made, but are you a little surprised that these guys are all kind of shooting into play against each other?
I would say more KD, wouldn't you? Because he seemingly didn't, you know, like you said, they're all buddies, but I felt like I didn't think that they were on that level, but maybe I missed him in the picture last year or the year before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe he was taking the picture, and that's why we didn't see him. So, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, yeah, we know, you know, LeBron and Carmelo are buddies. You know, that's been a fact for, you know, many years now. But, yeah, it is a little shocking, I guess, that, you know, Durant, you know, and I know he's done it before. You know, I know he had some big games in, you know, I believe it's pronounced Rucker Park when the NBA was on strike. You know, he went out there and actually played in the pickup games there, which are incredibly,
you know,
competitive and, you know, a lot of people,
yeah,
the best, you know, best out there.
Yeah, well, what's interesting about that is, you know, that a lot of that stems from drug dealers hosting big, huge tournaments. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah, as weird as that is, huh?
You know, you can make before the NBA really got to be where they are, I mean, you can make some good money if you were on those teams back in the day.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, there are guys, if you ever go back and look into the ABA history, when that league was around, you know, they found a lot of their players there, and you know, when they found these guys, you know, obviously they were great high school players, and, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it'd be they didn't get into college, be it grades or money or however it works. And some of them actually were legitimate drug dealers at the time they started playing in the ABA. You know, and it was kind of like, oh, you know, okay. But, you know, just one of those things back then. Obviously, it was a different culture, and, you know, it's a competitive league, so they needed all the talent they could get their hands on. I guess they just kind of looked the other way, didn't they?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Because you and I could have played on that team. Oh, but, the other thing, Dan, and I know, I'm always kind of baffled by this. And, you know, Kevin Durant has now came out, and he said that he won't visit the White House when the Golden State Warriors go because of Donald Trump. And, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, I just don't care. You know, I don't care what Kevin Durant's political views are. I don't care what, you know, Richard Sherman's political views are. You know, I don't care what, you know, Derek Jeter's political views are. You know, when you're an athlete or a celebrity, I don't understand why you magically think you have the right to express your views to us on a national platform. You know, I don't care if you don't like the guy or not. Do something that's going to make a change. Then I'll listen to you. But, I mean, I don't care that Kevin Durant doesn't want to go to the White House. I mean, neither did Jake Arrieta. I didn't care. You know, does this affect your way of thinking or anything? Or are you just kind of along with me where you're like, yeah, okay, whatever?
Yeah, kind of whatever. But, I mean, I get it. They have the platform, and that's where they can use it. But I don't really think that says anything to anybody. And on the flip side of it, even with LeBron's, you know, comments about our so-called president, you know, when it comes to it, when nominees are running and all the political stuff, you know, they've got the platform, but they turn into just about any other Joe Schmo on Twitter and on Facebook, where you only have political views when you don't like them. You know, I find that very interesting. And some of the stuff that's said about Trump now, and I don't want to get too political, but some of the stuff that's said about Trump now, you would have been, you know, ran out of the country if you would have even said anything in the sorts about Obama or, you know, even with Hillary. So I find that funny. But I mean, at the same time, when these guys want to make all their political statements, like you said, do something, make a difference. But when all the political stuff is going on, you never hear about them endorsing other politicians or putting their two cents in the political field. So it's kind of like, whatever, who cares?
So, yeah, you know, like even the weird thing is, you know, LeBron talked about the incident in, Charlottesville the other day, which, you know, which obviously was just a terrible thing. And then he got ripped on by people because they said he didn't say enough. And it's like, oddly, you'll never hear me defending LeBron or siding with LeBron, but I don't know what they wanted the guy to do. You know, I mean, it was like, what other kind of statement was he supposed to make? I mean, you know, he's not going to obviously support a Nazi group. You and I aren't supporting Nazi groups. Well, I don't know what you do in your free time, but I don't think you're supporting Nazi groups. it's almost like the guy can't win. And trust me, you don't know how much I really hate the fact that I have to defend LeBron right now. But, you know, people, you know, they've got to cut him some slack. He's a professional basketball player. You know, he's not a civil rights activist. He's not a politician. You know, obviously he cares about this stuff, you know, because they were very involved with the Trayvon Martin thing when he was in Miami. And, you know, they find their ways to make their statements, but, you know, you can't kind of thrust a microphone at this guy and go, hey, here, say something life-changing. you know, it just doesn't happen. People who do that kind of stuff have other people who write those speeches. So, you know, I actually felt bad for him that they were taking shots at him because, you know, I believe his thing was he just kind of said we all need to love each other and, you know, get along. That would help. And he kind of got ripped for that, and I'm maybe misquoting, so don't take my word for that. And I was just like, God, this guy can't catch a break.
Well, and like you said, what's he supposed to do? You know, yeah. You're kind of getting on him. It's just like everyone getting on the president. I mean, again, you know, it's unfortunately only one person was killed, and it was kind of a hate thing. But you know, Obama didn't get attacked for, I mean, when the Miami, Florida shooting happened.
Yeah.
You know, it was a completely different situation, and it was actually worse, and it happened under his watch. But at the same token, I mean, what do you want these guys to do? Don't do it anymore. Oh, okay, yeah. We'll stop. We'll stop being hateful people.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, the oddest thing. I mean, you can't expect one of these guys to go down there and, you know, make it stop. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, they're African-American athletes. They're not going to be joining the Nazi party anytime soon, or at least I hope not. But, you know, it's so odd. I mean, why are you looking at them when maybe you're the one who needs to try to make a difference, you know, and instead of relying on, you know, LeBron James or whichever athlete it is, I mean, you know, you step forward and say something, you know, try to, you know, organize something peaceful, you know, let's not get ridiculous here because, you know, we've had enough of the violence and it's just stupid. You know, I know they had an incident in Barcelona that I didn't see the whole story on yet, but I know 13 people ended up getting killed in another stupid attack. I believe it was terrorism. You know, and I mean, I don't understand what it accomplishes. You know, I mean, okay, you know, that woman lost her life, but, you know, what did the Nazis accomplish? So,
well,
besides becoming one of the most, probably the most hated in America now, right?
Yeah. Well, that's how it goes. You know, each time a group, it's got to shift. You know, it used to be extremist Muslims,
yeah.
But now we're going to worry about all, as they can call themselves, alt-right. I mean, in our country, we're so quick to protest every single little thing. You know, if someone sneezes the wrong way and there's a protest, I mean, I just am thankful we live here and not in a country like Venezuela. You know.
Yeah. Well, not to get too and don't depend on your athletes but all right, Dan and I are leaving. That's it. We've had enough. We'll come back tomorrow for a Friday podcast live at 5:30. You know the deal while we're away though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow that link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Dan and I are always posting stuff up there for you that we think you might find interesting. So definitely like that. Don't forget the Twitter feed. Those stories pop up there as well, at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter. We like that too. As always, hey, thanks for coming on and listening to us live. But don't forget, you can find this podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.